Thank you for listening to the podcast. Sure, the people who are watching the video podcast over on our YouTube channel are getting to see what's going on, but you get more stuff. If you're listening, you get to stick around after the closing jingle and hear the interview with Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla's podcasts are awesome. We're going to talk cars, life, etc. It's going to be cool. Then after Adam Carolla, you'll also get an interview with the host of the History Channel's The Proof Is Out There, Tony Harris. Again, those are just for you right here listening with your ears. If you want to watch, you can always go like our YouTube channel, Big D and Bubba, all one word, and then click on the little subscribe button and the bell so you never miss when we go live for the podcast.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Hello, Bubba.
Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Hello,
Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts because, well, here we are in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio, and they have sponsored the podcast. If you are looking for anything auto parts related, don't go anywhere else. Just go to O'Reilly Auto Parts and say, hey, Big D and Bubba told me to come here because y'all got better parts and better prices, and they said y'all do it every day.
I was there a couple of days ago.
Were you really?
Yeah. You like that?
You okay?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what's going on here. Patrick, right before we turned the podcast on, Patrick sneezed and fell off of his stool.
I didn't fall off of my stool. I tripped on the headphone cable when I was getting up, so they fell.
Anyway, I bought some cables, spark plug cables, and I had to return them because I'm an idiot.
You got the wrong kind?
I did, yes.
Oh, well. You know, that happens sometimes. I remember whenever, like, when they first came out with colored cables. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like, you know, everybody goes cables with the colored cables now. I was like,
what you go with?
I made sure it matched my car. I had a blue car back then. So I was like, I want my cables to match it. So when I pop the hood, only I will know that they match.
Yeah,
but there was something to that, and for some reason, I rode around thinking. I mean, that was that little dude. This is like an old Isuzu, and it was like blue, and it just matched. And I felt like I was big time.
Dad, did you make your own cables? Or did you get the pre-done ones?
I got the pre-done ones.
Yeah, that's because you're smart.
Yep.
Those ones you got to make, that'll make you go Charles Manson on people.
I didn't know they had some you could make.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got some like that are lit up and stuff now. I've seen those.
Oh, I haven't seen
like
that.
The LEDs. Oh yeah. So it looks like you have a flux capacitor under your hood.
That sounds like something to break. But now I went with red. Actually, I went black, and then I changed my mind to red because I have some red in the engine. Not a whole lot.
You're talking about on the Chevelle?
On the Chevelle.
Okay.
So I went with red, but I ordered the wrong ones.
Why would you go with red on that car? It's black with gold ghost stripes.
Well, because the engine's got a lot of red in it. It's got red, black, and chrome.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Because,
Hi, Big D and Carson. I mean, Patrick and Carson.
Hey,
you guys want to join us in this conversation?
Yeah,
hello.
No, I fell asleep during car talk.
I, too, buy cables to match, as in my red phone charging cable.
Hey, you know what?
As close as I get.
That's a deal. That's the same kind of thing. It's a little bit of an aesthetic pleasing thing that you go, man, I just, it feels better.
Big D, baby.
At the end of our interview with Norm MacDonald, one of our interviews when he was in studio years ago, that was the last thing he said.
You're like, all right, we'll be right back. It's Big D and Bubba.
Big D, baby.
I need that.
You know what,
aww,
Norm? Yeah,
cheers.
You do need that. That's so awesome. Big D, baby.
Dude, how many people have Norm MacDonald saying their name?
Right?
I mean, and with baby, all the swag.
Big D, baby.
Little Steez right there.
I hated that he died, man.
Man, that was a shock. I mean, we knew he was sick. We'd heard.
He didn't look right. He looked sick.
But you know, I thought maybe he was just, I thought honestly, because somebody told us about the cancer thing, man, 6 or 7 years ago, another comedian, and they were like, yeah, he's not doing well, but, you know, and then he started doing all this other stuff. He had that Netflix show and all that, so I'm like, oh, he must have gotten better. Yeah. And the whole time, he was just chugging along, doing his thing, and, you know, kudos to him. Part of me says kudos to him for battling through and just continuing on with life. But the other part is something that really bugs me. Because I've got a friend who is in the middle of a cancer battle, and this person is wonderful and fantastic and does not want anybody to do anything for them. Like, in other words, they don't want to bother you. Yeah. And it's like, no, I'm here to help. I'm your friend. This is what we do.
Well, I'm sure he had people doing that. He just didn't want it to be known to in the public.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that,
respect
man.
That, man. You know, in this world of everyone begging for attention on social media every time they stub a toe, you know, here's a guy battling cancer and doesn't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
All these people who
I have a friend that
God, it's so annoying, isn't it?
That oh my gosh,
the
always
attention complainers,
and it's not like a sick thing or a cancer thing, no, but it's just every day.
Oh, it's just
something.
It's constant drama, and it's always, and they're just begging for.
Yeah.
You know what they want? Hey, it's going to be fine. Hey, you're beautiful.
Praying for you.
Hey, no.
Oh, stop.
There are people that are friends of mine that I cannot stand on social media. That in real life, everything's great. And then I see the stuff they post and I go, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you being this person? Do you need hearts this badly?
And the thing is, like, I thought vague booking and like passive aggressive posting and all that would have gone away by now.
It's
called out. We're calling it out now, but we've been doing it for years. And people hate it. But no, people still do it. They get off on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad. I haven't been on Facebook in a long time.
I forgot about the vague booking thing. Carson says it all the time, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's that term I need to remember.
What is vague booking exactly?
It's the I can't get into it, but could really use prayers right now.
When they're vague, you know.
Some people, I won't say who.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Had a really tough day. Don't want to talk about it, but could use your love.
Yeah. Can we start a prayer chain? Why? What am I praying for?
Yeah.
What, do you need a new car or is someone dying? Because there's a difference.
I'd like to know. Like, why don't you tell us?
There's a difference in my effort level. Am I putting you at the top of the prayer list? Am I just throwing you in the middle?
I forget the comedian. I saw this like, he goes, man, it seems like everyone's always asking for prayer. And man, some of the stuff I'm just not wasting God's time on. Like, I'm not going to God to help pray that your son, you know, wins in this karate tournament.
You can. That's good. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't expect me.
Yeah.
I mean I've got a priority list.
Oh, my gosh. The other one, the opposite of that is the my life is amazing. Look at how amazing my life is. Now, I know everybody does a version of that, but the one that really irks me is my kid is amazing. Look how amazing my kid is.
Yeah.
And every post is about the kid.
So you know why?
And every what?
I think this is my theory. I think people want to brag about themselves. But they figure if they brag about their kid, then it's not them being vain. It is a way to almost humble brag and go, look how great
roundabout
my kid is.
But here's an example. Okay, so my daughter was at this birthday party, I don't know, when was that, last week? And she did an archery thing. And so if you didn't see the video, I posted a video of her, you know, popping the balloon. That's
she
cute.
She was so happy, man.
Surprised.
Here's how that post goes with, you know, Evangeline was really unsure of herself and didn't know if she could do it. But after practicing and then all of a sudden, here she was hitting the hey,
making
check out this
narrative.
Cool. Yeah, like, no, your child is not the star of a Huckleberry Finn novel. You're not Mark Twain. Stop making this whole thing like that. It's not.
Evangeline is now Katniss Everdeen.
I've walked into Evangeline's room.
Tribute.
You know. I walked into my son's room, and he looked at me and said, Mommy, you're so beautiful. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And if he did, why are you telling us?
Your kid is two and eats paste.
Yeah. It's just so much.
I saw a thing where it was, I forget who it was I was listening to. He's really calling out these stories online that just aren't, we know they're not true.
Oh, not
and it
true.
Was, it was a story of this woman who said she went to a park. And her son was playing with another kid who was black, and he said an older woman came up and said, "Is that your son?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yeah." Okay, well, I just want to let you know that they're who they're playing with. And the guy goes, dude, nobody ever says that.
This is not 1946. They
didn't even do it then, probably.
Yeah, no, they probably did.
And then they end it with, and everybody claps.
And
and then she's like,
not a dry eye was to be found.
I can't wait for a day in a world where it, you know, it doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter now.
It doesn't matter.
No one cares.
You're lying.
I saw the greatest one online. It was this man had posted, wow, what a lucky father I am. Just my two kids both called me back to back to tell me that they love me. And the sister sends it to the brother and said, did you call dad? And he says, nope.
Yep. That's actually,
bragging on your kid.
Maybe, though.
Attention.
Maybe that was the dad.
That might have been the dad being sarcastic to get his kids to call
him. Yes, he could have been subversive.
It looked weird. I remember that, like, the kid thing, I've always been so weird about people that, I don't even want to say push their kids in the spotlight, but make you look at their kids before Facebook. Because when I was a kid, my mother had to go to a PTA meeting. And she came home livid because the head of the PTA insisted that her daughter come out and dance for everybody.
Oh boy.
And my mother, you think I don't have a poker face? My mother does not have one. And she just sat there. And finally, at one point, she goes, are we going to start this meeting or can we reschedule it?
Wow.
Yep. Oh,
that
yeah.
That really
so
is
your mother.
Your mom.
Is Big D. Is that?
No, that's pretty much Carson,
it
too.
Is me.
That is a slam dunk Carson. I see where you get it from
it
now.
It does. That's where it comes from. But she, and it's like, and now that I see that stuff on Facebook, it's the same kind of thing. Like you said, it's not just pay attention to my kid, but let
my
me really spin it.
My kid is really special. Not like everyone else's kid is special, but my son overheard my husband and I talking about how we weren't sure how we were going to pay the bills. And he came in with the room with his piggy bank and said, can I help mommy? Like, now look, no. I'm not saying that that's never happened, but that didn't happen. And also don't post about, like,
this is not a Clay Walker song.
One, two.
And now here's John Michael Montgomery to sing The Little Girl.
Big D, go ahead, since you look like John Michael.
Is that our problem with the Christmas shoes?
Yes.
The Christmas shoes.
Why did you do that? Why did you bring it up?
The Christmas shoes is everyone telling a fake story about some really profound thing their kid did that they didn't do.
Despise the Christmas shoes because not only did it not happen. Yeah, exactly. Not only did it not happen, but it is the worst lie ever.
Look what you've done.
That song so much.
Should have Mr. Burns it over here.
I cannot stand it.
These are the shoes my mommy's going to wear when she gets to Jesus.
Why is there an 8-year-old walking around Chicago by itself?
Yeah.
I don't even know where they are.
I just want to let Patrick and Bubba just go off on
all
of us. And then Christmas shoes.
Somebody take this kid to Paris.
Am I a terrible person because I love Jesus? But the first time I heard that song, I thought, well, that's a scam. Is it the only one? Yeah. I'm not talking like 20 years ago, whatever. I'm listening to that. It's Christmas time. I'm in the spirit and I hear this piece of garbage. And I'm like, well, that's a scam.
Bro,
that kid walked in there with some
one
pennies.
One and the same.
And tricked the guy behind him.
The kid now has a GoFundMe.
Oh, yeah.
The
is
kid
there
is
another version of that song?
But still using the same picture.
Is there another version of that song where the next guy in line goes, get out of here, kid. You're holding up the line. Like some, you know.
Dude. You want some sort of a, oops, sorry, I said you were above. You want some sort of a, one of those parody songs where they do like the Christmas song.
Oh my God, there's a Christmas shoes parody in there.
Totally. What's the guy's name out of Seattle? Steve.
I know who you're talking about. The guy who did Iron Man with Santa Claus.
Howie? Gary Howie?
Bob Rivers. Yeah, so good.
Rivers,
so talented.
Redo Christmas shoes, please.
I don't know if he's. I don't even know what he's doing.
I don't know if he's alive.
I mean, can Patrick do it?
I'm y'all.
We have a very talented gentleman sitting
there's
to my
plenty
left.
Of time between now and Thanksgiving.
Why don't you grab a guitar
I am going to. First of all, I can't do that with the melody because on the podcast.
No, but you could write your own melody.
No, I'm going to take it. Can you imagine?
You're going to go get the.
I'm doing it.
Can you imagine?
That's just like Big D on the griddle. Big D keeps saying he's going to do the video for On the Griddle, and he's not going to do it because he realized after he recorded the song that I really don't want to do this. I regret doing it.
I do regret doing it.
Yeah, so great, though.
I don't even know why. I was just sitting there. I'm like, I don't even know where the song came in my head. I don't even know why I even did it. Why I was even thinking like, in the ghetto.
He texted it to me like on a Saturday.
Yes.
He's so excited.
Like, oh, yeah.
He bubba'd you?
He's like, hey, can you run over this and see what I changed like two words and sent it back to him. And I was like, this is better. And that's it. And then he gave me co-write credits. I'm like, I'm good. I was like, you know what that was? That's I awful. Was John Prine, you know, telling Steve Goodman that I did not want my name on You Never Even Call Me By My Name. That's how, like, you know. I co-wrote the song with John Prine, and John Prine's over there going, "I know it. No, I didn't. He wrote that by himself." Steve.
I didn't know John Prine wrote that.
So John Prine co-wrote "You Never Even Called Me By My Name," which we know the David Allen co-version.
I was
and
drunk.
Then he was so scared that it was supposed to be like a dig at the music industry, you know. And so he was worried that he would never get work again, and no one would cut his songs. So he asked Steve, and Steve kind of could get away with that stuff because he was more of a
outside. He was out of New York, wasn't he?
Well, he was out of Chicago, I think. But he was more of a kind of a lovable goofball folk singer. Like, he didn't really care.
Yeah.
And John was trying to make a living as a songwriter. So he was like, yeah, just don't put my name on that. And then the song went. You know,
it became
it
an anthem.
It was like a platinum selling album and all this stuff. So.
Here we are still talking about it.
Well, that's
in 2021.
That's the one he says,
my friend Steve Goodman wrote that song. Yeah. But what most people
Don't
know is John Prine co-wrote that song. But when the song became very successful, he bought John Prine a refurbished Wurlitzer jukebox, one of the really old ones, and had it like really fancy, you know, done and fixed up. So that's the story
he got
I heard.
A jukebox out of it.
Yeah, that was a really nice gift. This is like 1980.
I mean, or give me the check.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just, you know,
how much you
going to
pay for the jukebox? Or give me that.
I think John did okay.
Slide him the cash and then let him buy whatever he wants.
Sadly, Steve Goodman did not live that long. I don't know. Maybe he would have given him more money, but he didn't live very long after that. I think he died in the early 80s of cancer. Yeah. So he wrote that song, and he wrote The City of New Orleans for Willie Nelson.
Did he really?
Willie Nelson, that song won a Grammy for Song of the Year or whatever. And Steve Goodman was already gone when it won.
Big D, baby.
Yeah. See, I'm here for your useless information.
No, it's not useless. That's
it's
good.
Amazing completely. That you know all that.
What like, shoes was he wearing why. When he met Jesus?
They were those.
Nice, shiny patent leather ones.
For they're some reason, nice. The Christmas shoes in my head are Dorothy slippers.
Same.
That's it's same. The weird. That, I always
no, see. What shoes do you see? Because I see like a pair of gold high heels that look kind of like stripper shoes. And I'm like, your mama don't want to meet Jesus in those shoes. That's always my thought.
Some
I'm like, does
see-through
the kid even
with
know?
A goldfish in the heel?
The kid's always like,
I'm just saying, please.
These shoes
please
are
don't.
Just her size? Are they really? How do you know? Because you're like a little kid. You know, when you were a kid, did you know what size shoes your mother wore?
Yeah.
No, you did not. So the shoes are not going to fit. You're going to bring them to mama. They're like tacky and glittery. They're going to, they have that glitter going to get
everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
even
please
you show
don't.
Up, even Jesus is like, is there glitter on your shoes, woman?
You're about to glitter bomb heaven. What you doing?
Sorry. These jokes are really, really inappropriate.
Please don't do the song. Because if you do, he's going to want to play it.
Mm-hmm. I will.
And people are going to hate us.
No, I think a lot of people don't like that
a
song.
Lot of people
a lot of people don't like
every
that
year,
song.
Every year we had this conversation.
I think more people hate it than love it.
I disagree, man.
All right. If you are watching on YouTube, leave a little thing in the thing. Love or hate the Christmas shoes.
That's
same
not
thing.
Scientific.
If you're on the podcast, reach out to us listening. Just at Big D and Bubba on social media.
It's just
and let
a
us know.
No-win situation. When you ask, when you get on, you trash a song. It's like trashing the Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA.
No, it's different.
Not at all
no.
the same.
Because everybody loves that song. Yeah. They may have heard it a
Some
thousand times.
Some people feel like that song's cheesy or overplayed, but it's not as bad. This is not even in the same league with the way people feel about the Christmas trees.
Was there another song that is similar to that is maybe not.
Okay, so real quick, before you compare God Bless the USA to the Christmas shoes, remember, God Bless the USA was sincere. And you can tell he actually loves America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Christmas shoes is not
made
sincere.
It's a
story. It's somebody who doesn't need it on Facebook with a GoFundMe going, help pay for my vacation for my kids.
I just want to say that Glenda hated it. And if Glenda's like, Glenda's the person who I wouldn't, no offense, Glenda, would have said, no, I like that song because it's nice. No, if she hates it,
Glenda's nice about literally everything.
So I do want to say, Lane said, did you all do anything special for James Vanderbeek Day?
No,
we
did sadly
not.
We
let
didn't.
It go. Not on purpose. Dee had to leave early that day for some personal stuff, and then we just kind of never got around to it.
What a shame.
Too bad. Don't worry. It's still on the calendar. It did come up on Tuesday, September the 14th, and tell me that it was James Vanderbeek Day because I needed to know.
So that is still something we're working on. It has fallen through year in and year out now, ever since we first discovered here on the podcast about Carson and James Vanderbeek's connection.
I don't know if Carson thinks we're kidding and just like poking fun with her.
No, I legitimately think you are trying to get him on the show.
Good,
my biggest fear in life.
With all that we have.
Yes.
You're more afraid of James Vanderbeek coming on the show than like.
I'll tell you why. She doesn't want to
spiders.
Have to face.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to have to face
that. Because you guys, because I would sit there and be like, oh, hey, nice. I won't even tell you.
And
like,
we'll
hey,
be like, James, she hates you.
Right. You're going to like play him clips.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not nice.
Isn't it, though?
No.
It's
no,
hilarious.
It's not. It's not. So what if we do? What if we agree to do
copying
this?
Copying James Vanderbeek
Wait,
Day now?
What if we agree to do this? Because I want James Vanderbeek Day to happen. What if we agree to good cop the whole interview and we get him on and we talk about how great he is and we love the Diplo show and we love, what was the old show, the one with Katie Cruz?
What?
You know, Dawson's Creek.
What? We're not good copying a James Vanderbeek interview.
But we
the
do
whole
that.
Reason we're trying to book James Vanderbeek is to make fun of the fact that he used to go to church
but
with
that's
Carson
not
when they were
nice.
Kids.
You don't have somebody on the show just so you can
I
make
agree.
Me
we,
awkward.
We have never had someone on the
it's
show
a,
purely
who are
to
you
bash
people? It's a funny what is wrong? No.
It's funny that he doesn't know. It's like, funny that I'm sitting here in my little corner going, bah, 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 bah. And then, like, if he did find out, I'd be like, oh, geez. Like, that's
yeah,
awful.
I agree. Like, it's an inside joke. This is a joke that this when you start taking it outside, then it gets
like, it could be funny if you had him on the show.
Oh, my God.
And was like, okay, we're going to see how she reacts. Like, are you even going to tell him that you used to know him?
Are you even going to talk to
right,
him?
Right. Are you going to be nice?
These
but,
are
like,
the things I want to see.
Okay, that's fine. But to sit there and, hey, here, play a clip where Carson is just
I'm not
going to
play
you.
Him clips, but we are going to ask him about whether or not he remembers you, and he's going to say no.
That's fine.
Or he's going to lie.
Fine.
And then we're going to, you know, I don't know, but it's going to be
and
great.
And that's it.
And
then
if you're all just going to sit here and kiss his butt, it's not even worth having him on the show.
Exactly.
Yes. Like,
you guys can talk about how much you
I
love
so
Varsity Blues.
I do love
Let
Varsity Blues.
There you go. You talk to the beak.
I can't wait to watch that with my son.
There
I've
you go.
I've actually been waiting and waiting. I can't wait for him to get old enough to where he can handle the teacher in the in her second job scene.
Oh.
That scene. Well, also
I'm just
the,
so disappointed in all of you right now.
Why?
Because I dude. Keep thinking about how great it would be to have James Vanderbeek on the show.
We have two options. We never get him on, and it's never confronted.
Well, we haven't gotten him on so far.
That's
so,
what I'm saying. Or we get him on the show, and we have at least
how we handle
something.
It is not going to change whether or not he comes on the show. It's not, because I've been trying to get him on the show for three years now.
What are they? It's
always like, oh, he doesn't really want to do media. He doesn't have anything he wants to promote.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything going on.
And again, I don't use the you used to go to church with Carson, you know, and her mom and your mom didn't get along. I don't use that to
weird.
Book the interview because that wouldn't help.
Yeah,
I'm booking the interview under false pretenses of we really want to talk to James Vanderbeek, when in reality, we really want to make Carson squirm. That's why it's funny.
We're
it's
on
funny
the James Vanderbeek do not fly list. I think he has, through social media, somebody
him.
Said something, and
oh,
I think
yeah.
he put
you know
us
how many
on the
people
list.
Tag him and stuff?
Yeah, they do
Yo,
all the time.
What are you doing?
Yeah, James yeah. They have burned you. They've laid you out
do.
There. Oh,
yes.
They like play.
They send him the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and he has nothing else to do. He might.
He's probably listened.
Did you hear it? You hear it just sneak in a little bit?
It's not even sneaking in. It's not, you know. It's still there. It's still there.
I understand where you're coming from.
We're not not ambushers. We're not those people.
I would not. Yeah,
we're not
no.
those jerk radio people.
You're right. We're not.
Patrick we're not is. Ambushing him. We're ambushing you.
That's
the
fine.
Point of booking James Vanderbeek is to have him on the show and you not know it's happening, and then we don't let you run out of the studio. That we're messing
as
with you,
as
not
you're
James.
Not playing the clips of me saying I again that are very
you want
mean.
Us to find the people that I. You know, from my childhood, who I most don't want to talk to. Oh, we can get D too. We can Bubba. We'll, Bubba probably
right,
all of his friends
no
are in jail.
Clips of but you
t- I'm sure we could do
I,
this.
I
too.
Can't argue with that. By the way, yeah. several of my friends have spent time in the slammer.
I don't. You know, I don't care.
Well,
if it's funny, let's do it.
I mean, I don't know.
It's fine if you want to. Be
Here's
like,
the thing.
Hey, you guys went to school
together. I'm gonna keep
trying
to book James Vanderbeek.
All right.
And he's not going to come on the show.
One
but
more
if
proposal.
He does, a gentleman's agreement over here, this side of the room, we're not telling Carson James Vanderbeek is on the show until she's in here talking to him, right? That's still agreed?
I think we should try both ways. If you can get him, and then we can make sure that she comes in. But I would like to do this. Carson, if James Vanderbeek were to come on the show, and if we said... What if we just go and confront it head on, call out the elephant and say, James, back in the day, you know, there was a little,
no.
your mom would
no.
make
no.
you
his
the
mom
star.
Died.
No.
See,
his
even
mom
better.
Died last year.
Bubba, even better.
Because this
Melinda
is a chance.
Is no longer
this
with
is a
I
chance
agree
for,
that this bit was funnier before James Vanderbeek's mom died.
No,
I
I'm saying
that
this
that
gives
was funny
him a chance
then.
To redeem himself mm. to you
oh
and
my.
Redeem his mother to you. And just, I think we do it as a, it's a hero's journey.
What?
It's like there's one ring.
God, Bubba went a step beyond good copying it.
I
he
am
went
all
to
about,
straight
let's,
up freaking.
Let's
I don't
fix
even know.
This.
What's the step
I don't
beyond
even know what that
copy?
Means.
I don't even know what he's
let's
doing.
Let's fix this. Let's you know.
Fix
there's all this
what?
Drama. Let's end it forever.
Oh, God,
let's get
you,
rid
Carson,
of it.
Can you slap the rose-colored glasses off his face?
No, I just think it would be. I think it would be kind of fun just to have a. It's
also,
almost
I'm
like
I'm gonna really.
It's
I'm gonna say to him like, look. So way back in the day when you were a kid and I was a kid and everybody's awkward and weird and you were kind of a bully, but like now you should make up for that. Like this is not what they practice in the 12 steps. He should come to me, which again, I'm not the worst that got it, but dude, you can't ambush someone. We're not those people.
Lane, I want to say that I know it was 3 days late, but I hope you enjoyed this celebration of James Vanderbeek Day.
I
still
think
it's in the week, so it's James Vanderbeek Day observed. So you're welcome, sir. That's what just happened for the last 10 minutes.
I still think it would be nice to just fix this just one more time. Go out, slay the dragon, and be done with it.
Or
what do you mean?
Right?
Fix,
no,
what are you talking about?
Fix
I
what?
Say
There's
fix it.
Fix.
Who knows? You
they confronted
and James. You and James yeah. could be BFFs.
No, we couldn't. Listen.
You don't know this.
I'm not
He's
pulling back
changed.
any of my attempts. At getting him on the show.
Big D, are you the same person you were when you were 15? I know I'm not. Patrick,
pretty
you?
Much, yeah. I didn't really change
really?
Much. You know, I'm pretty much
I mean, I'm sure
guy.
There have been minor differences, but I'm pretty much
Carson,
the same
I know
I
you're not
15.
The same person you were 15. No, none of us are. And that's the beautiful thing is we've lived and we've learned. And you know what? I think it's time to fix this.
What's it's a hero's journey? What
it is. It's a hero's journey.
Who's the hero?
It's,
I don't,
we have to
are
figure
you
it out.
Both.
Wow.
No one
knows.
The hero?
You both are the heroes.
So, you know, who knows?
Oh, my God. What a terrible idea.
I wish Norm MacDonald was here.
Yes.
I'm sure
yes.
he would have something great to say.
Big D, baby.
Yes, he would.
So, my favorite Norm MacDonald clip was, did you see the ones where he was in the car with Seinfeld doing the comedians and cars?
I did not.
Oh, yes. Yes, I saw that clip. That was so bright. So great.
So great.
And I loved
so
it.
So smart.
I posted that.
All of his
that's
stuff.
That's on my Twitter if you want to find
the Cosby
it
thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so
what
you
happened?
Can find that on my Twitter.
He says, you think all this is going to tarnish Cosby's legacy?
Yeah, because this is when it was really still new, and he goes, yeah.
And Seinfeld's like, yeah.
Norm says, comedian Patton Oswalt, he said, you know, I think the worst thing about this is a hypocrisy. And I don't agree with that at all. And Seinfeld, just being the best straight man ever, goes,
yes, you don't?
No, you don't? He goes, no. I think it was the raping. Here's a Norm MacDonald story that I'll tell because I never heard him tell this story, and I'm sure there's a clip out there. But I heard Anthony Jeselnik telling this story with and Howie Mandel. I think it was that's who I heard telling it that Cosby had gone on Saturday Night Live. This was way before there was this was when Bill Cosby was still every comedian's hero. Okay. And he goes on Saturday Night Live, and Norm Macdonald started listening to comedy records with his dad. And, like, that's how he learned timing, and that's how he became obsessed with comedy, was because of Bill Cosby. So he went in and he told Bill Cosby, you're my dad's favorite comedian, and if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here right now, because he made me listen to those things. And And Cosby said, where's your dad? And he said, he's in Ottawa. And he said, well, look, if I'm going to be in Ottawa in 3 weeks doing a show, so and I'm not doing a Bill Cosby impersonation, but he said, give me his phone number, and I'll call him and invite him to the show, and he can come and hang out, be my guest, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
So Norm gave Bill Cosby his dad's name and phone number, and then Bill Cosby walked away, and one of the other guys on this cast goes, isn't your dad dead? He goes, I didn't have the heart to tell him. I thought it would be awkward to come back right then and go, well, I mean, he's dead, but thanks. So he goes, I didn't think anything of it. And then 2.5 weeks later, his phone rings in his office at NBC, and it's Bill Cosby tracking down Norm Macdonald to go, hey, I'm in Ottawa, and I keep calling that number you gave me, but it's no one's answering. Is everything all right? He goes, oh, yeah, no, you know what? I think he might be, let me see. And then...
Just let it go away.
But Bill Cosby actually followed up and tried to call Norm Macdonald's dad.
Didn't have the heart.
Didn't have the heart to tell him. I don't know. It's just such a great story.
Do you guys, and I started watching it a couple of years ago when it first came out. The Norm Macdonald has a show on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watch a little bit of it.
It really, every time I watch it, I always think, man, I'm just watching Norm do a podcast. Mm-hmm. And it is so fantastic because his mind is so messed up and so just off in corners you don't get. And, you just watch it and you go, how much of his actual lines in movies, how much of that must have been completely off the top?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you watch his movies?
Yeah.
Like Screwed and Dirty Work?
Dirty Work, yeah.
Oh, my God. Screwed is great. He has to be some guy's butler. And I have GIFs in my phone from those movies because I have a friend that we're obsessed with Norm Macdonald. And he made these GIFs specifically because guess what? On a GIF site, nobody's making Dirty Work GIFs.
I used this quote all week. It was Jeremy Boring I saw on Twitter that said, the gift of Norm Macdonald is that he made all of us feel like we were the only one who got it.
Mm-hmm.
And that Norm Macdonald fans were a really small group of people who loved his obscure comedy, a small group of people that included the whole freaking world. Because everybody apparently loved Norm Macdonald
I've never heard anybody say anything negative about him.
I'm sure there's going to be some hater at some point. It's probably some guy on Twitter right now making a whole thing about this. But
I feel like it's when Bob Odenkirk had a heart attack that everybody universally on social media was like, pray for Bob Odenkirk. And I felt when Norm died, everybody on social media was like, oh, no, it was just a massive outpouring of love.
Yeah, I think there's very few people, like we're running out of people that everybody loves, you know?
That's because we know everyone's politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a better time when we didn't know everybody's stuff.
No, it's true. When we didn't know your stance on everything.
I don't know Norm Macdonald's stance on anything.
I do, but who cares? Norm's comedy is what you have to judge him by. And I think that's kind of what we're going here is you're right. Before we knew everybody's stance, before everybody ticked us off for one thing or another, it was better. It really was. Mm. All this stuff has killed comedy.
It really has. It's really killed comedy.
You can't say jokes. I mean, we had somebody mad at us today. Okay, just to explain, every day after the show, we have to take a couple phone calls from managers and program directors who are saying, we have somebody who's complaining about this and that. Are you ready for the dumbest one today? The complaint was... too many songs.
Oh, I didn't even want to say it. I was hoping that's weren't where you were going.
Yes.
I really didn't want to make fun of this guy. We got a complaint on Twitter from a guy saying that there are too many songs on our show with people glorifying alcohol. I'm like, sir, are you? Let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with country music?
Because if you're watching the video, I hope you look right over Patrick's shoulder.
Yeah. First of all, can you see the whiskey? I don't know. I don't want to look, but can you see the whiskey over my shoulder? Oh, my bad.
There is a long history of country music and alcohol, and we understand alcohol abuse.
We should play less songs about drinking. No, you should listen to different music. There's a Celine Dion song playing for you right now, sir, and you will be happy there. I can't help you.
Yeah,
I don't want to make fun, but if you don't like country music, you don't like country music.
There's a couple themes in country music. Yeah,
Big D doesn't drink at all and never did. It's not like he's a recovering alcoholic. He never drank. And what are the best country songs about, D?
Beer and drinking. You're drinking because your woman left.
That's right. Drinking, your woman leaving. Or drinking because she left. That's it. I mean, what do you... Come on.
See, I remember when we did that thing with the construction guys. Have we ever told that story?
No. Stop.
Oh, God. This is great.
Why?
Are we going to tell that story?
It's a great story. We are the dumbest people sometimes.
It wasn't dumb. It was just we were ignorant. We didn't
know. I wanted to tell this story on the air, and you both told me, no, we shouldn't tell that story on the air. But now you've decided
There was a beer sponsor for our show who sent us some, that we were trying to thank them for being a sponsor. So we went out and we bought a case of their beer.
No.
Is that not what happened?
Four cases.
Oh, okay.
Four cases of the beer.
Four cases of beer because they were building out this studio.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to thank them for being, it was our first big major sponsor. And we were going to thank them for being a sponsor because it helped pay for the build out and all that kind of stuff.
We're not just going to sit around and drink your beer. We're going to go give beer to all the hardworking guys down at the job site right now building our studio. There's like seven dudes down there.
It's hot
and they're all working there. We're going to go down. We've got all these cases. We each walked in with a case of beer.
We're filming the whole thing.
D's got one on each arm, man. And we're expecting to walk in and the guys be like, hey, walk in. And the guy leading the job, who's our buddy Ronnie, goes, I don't drink. I had to quit drinking. And then one of the guys who didn't speak English said to his friend who did, he goes, he doesn't drink either, and I don't drink, and he doesn't drink.
They're all recovering alcoholics.
Yeah,
here we roll.
We don't drink, and we didn't do our homework. Turns out there's literally one guy there. He's like 22, and he's like, I'll take the beer. I'm like, yay, buddy. Jackpot for you.
You'll be an alcoholic in 15 years.
He's now a recovering alcoholic. But wait, the worst part is we're like, well, will you guys hold
no. Oh, no.
Like, well, you guys.
The poor story could have stopped, Bubba.
I know, but this is the best because this is comedy.
Oh,
so,
no.
we
don't want to ruin this show. We got to get the shot, right?
Oh, somebody says we've actually told this on the podcast before.
Oh, we have?
This is a conversation we normally have amongst ourselves. So, yeah, we're like, let's go ahead and have you guys at least just hold a beer. If you'll do that, we'll get the shot, and then we'll take the beer away, and it'll be good, and you'll never see it again because this 22-year-old guy's going to get it.
We all, got shots of everybody opening the beers and holding them up in the air and you know.
It was the worst.
It's the worst. Hey, I know you're a recovering drug addict, but can you just hold this kilo of cocaine and just shake it and just be like, look at this? And
the fact that you made them open it.
We made them open it.
That's even
because it's like one, two, three.
We're terrible people.
We didn't even, we were so oblivious. We're like, this is a great idea. And then looking back, we're like, we're monsters.
I can't believe we told this story before. Look, and I can't believe somebody remembers that.
Hey, can I say this, though? We learned. That's the beautiful thing about life you make mistakes and you learn. And I will never, ever, ever, and this is my promise to you guys and our 17 listeners, I will never, ever, ever have a recovering alcoholic open up a beer for our viewing pleasure.
Tracy
again.
And I... drink whiskey while we do our radio show, Honky Tonkin' with Tracy Lawrence. But every time we have a guest, it involves an awkward conversation to the manager or the publicist beforehand to go, listen, is it okay if we drink whiskey? And if it's okay if we drink whiskey, is it okay if we offer whoever a whiskey? Because, I don't want to be in that situation.
Yeah, because you're dealing with, legendary country stars who may or may not.
Oh, so-and-so doesn't drink anymore, and we'd really appreciate it if you didn't drink in front of him. I don't want them to have to say that after the fact. So we just don't drink if they don't. We're not.
I wish.
Sometimes it's like, no. In fact, if you could bring an extra bottle for Johnny Lee, he would really appreciate it.
And here's his brand.
And by the way, Johnny Lee drank me and Tracy under the table.
We had a client named Hookers and Blow.
There's a what? Band.
I wish
there's
we had a client and we could bring in Hookers and Blow.
Former members of Guns
hey,
N'
guys.
Roses.
I can't believe you, of all people, said Hookers.
I know.
Twice.
And Blow.
I know. It just big sounds D, so big dirty.
I know where to get
mouth.
You a t-shirt if you'd like it.
Big D, baby.
I got to get a copy of that.
Big D, baby.
That so should great. Be there like every time you get a text message.
Big D, baby.
I love it.
I'm get old, but yeah. Well. You know, so you could do those kind of like where it does it every fifth one.
Yeah, not every time.
Mm. Yeah.
Just a rotating text message.
Yeah, the fifth one will do it. Yeah.
Well, I had to turn mine off because like all the R2-D2 things, every time it comes in on a text message, and it got old pretty quick.
No, it was R2 screaming, wasn't it?
That was my alarm.
Oh, God.
I can't tell you how many times I've been on the road and I could hear his through the wall.
Back in the day, I had a ringtone set for my boyfriend at the time. It was the Exorcist theme because he was like super into horror movies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we broke up and they re-released the Exorcist. So every time the commercial played, the theme played, and I'd be like, why am I thinking about him? Why is he on my mind? I'm like, I was being punished. That was it.
Did you call him and say, just thinking of you?
No, because men are boomerangs. I knew he'd come back and he'd do that.
And he did?
Jeez. Of course he did.
Men are boomerangs, says the biggest man killer I've ever met in my life.
Prove me wrong.
Well, thank you, everybody, for watching the podcast on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe and click the little bell notification. That way you get the notifications when we go live and also whenever we post anything else that you might want to see.
And when you're watching the podcast live, you get to direct the conversation, much like Linda and Lane did today. So,
it happens sometimes.
Sometimes you get to have an impact.
If you are listening on a podcast app, do us a giant favor to kind of spread the word. Rate our podcast. Yep. Rate it well. Give us the highest rating, the mostest stars possible. And if you can, just say something nice, because what happens is the way the algorithm is if we get a bunch of 5 stars, we get suggested more, and we could actually maybe get to 18 listeners one day.
Never know. Oh. So we could actually make tens of dollars doing this.
How about that?
Tens.
All right.
Anyway, for those of you who are watching on the video part, you're not going to get this, but for those of you who are sticking around through the audio, you have Adam Carolla and Tony Harris, both interviews coming up right after this. Closing jingle.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
Big D, baby.
It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Adam Carolla on the hotline. What's up, Adam? How are you, man?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet, man. I didn't realize how big of a car guy you are. I was kind of skeezing on your
Twitter.
How do
you not realize that? That was like his thing for before Corona and before politics. It was all cars.
I'm just a dude, man. I don't know. Why would I know everything about Adam Carolla?
Because he's Adam Carolla.
What's your all-time favorite car?
Oh, man. I'm going to probably name a car, and then people are going to have to Google it.
I'm going to have to Google it, probably.
Which one?
All right. I'll do basic. I'll do BMW M1 Pro Car.
Is that the one? But what's the one you really, really like? Like, what's your, like, legit?
Well, why can't it be BMW M1 Pro Car?
Well, because I know that one. I thought it was going to be something we had to Google.
Oh, sorry. Okay, then I will. All right. It's, I'm trying to think of the initials. It's like, it's a 2500. It's like a 1964 2500, I think it's like TCD or TSD or something. It was a car that Bizzarini built before he went to Ferrari, before he went to Lamborghini.
You're talking about an ATS 2500 GTS?
Yes, that's it. ATS. Yeah. There you go. Mid-engine. They made 7 of them. They look like Dino Ferraris.
Yeah.
They're mid-engine. And it's got a 2.5 liter aluminum V8 mid-engine that, you know, probably with like 4 downdraft Webers on it. I just think it's the coolest piece in the world.
It is actually really cool. As I'm looking at it right now, it kind of looks like a Dino and an Opel had a baby.
Yeah, it does. They
shouldn't have interbred. It also has that look too. It's like it's a forbidden love baby.
I saw one in person about 3 weeks ago, Pebble Beach, and it's a beautiful car. Amazing. And like I said, they only made seven of them. Bizzarini was going from Ferrari over to Lamborghini, and he kind of made this car in between.
It's amazing you think about all these guys who are legendary, you know, designers and engineers, and how far ahead of everyone. Like, they just, like, it's hard. If you were to sit down and write, okay, I want you to draw a car, it would look like a Flintstone car.
Right.
To be able to do something that looks functional, number one, and it works, and also that looks different and likable, and that's impossible. And I don't know how every year you see, hey, there's a new, Corvette. Or not every year, but hey, there's a new Corvette. Now there's a new this, a new that. I'm like, dude, how are they changing all these different cars? It's fascinating to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I love it. I love the crazy variety in it. It's kind of, I don't know, probably the same thing you like about dogs, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Well, just imagine if there were no breeds of dogs. There was just Chihuahuas. There was just one.
Mm-hmm.
You just have one breed of dog. I don't think we'd be into it.
Yeah, you're right.
I just think we'd get bored of it really fast.
Yeah, well, you know? I had talked to a guy one time on a flight, and he was an automotive designer. And he was actually, you mentioned the Corvette, he was a guy working on the C7 at the time. And it hadn't come out yet, and he's like, what are you driving? I told him what I drive. He goes, oh, very nice. Well, if you like that, you're going to really love the C7 because it's exotic looking and all that. And I was like, oh, okay, great, you know. But what he told me was very interesting. He said, we actually design two or three generations of this car ahead, and then we dial it back. And then that's what we give you right now. And we know where we're going. We know our design direction, you know, even a decade or two out.
So they don't give it all away.
So they don't give it all away, yeah.
That's smart.
And then they can do facelifts and updates and give us what we really want towards the end of the life cycle of that vehicle.
It's like a girl. Kind of not giving you everything, just
holding back,
kind of holding back a little bit. Yeah,
put a ring on it, and
yeah,
now you get everything.
That's right. That's right. I've got a 1970 Chevelle SS that I have. It's not my everyday driver, but it's such a simple looking car, and obviously easy mechanically. But when you see the Chevelle out on the road, compared to everything else that is modern, it looks so special. Like we missed something somehow through the...
Well, everything turned into a jelly bean for quite a while there.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, you didn't, you know, see what changes everything is, you know, computers and the wind tunnel and then... regulation. So, you know, back then the Chevelle didn't need to have 5-mile-an-hour bumpers or whatever. Now you have to design a car to protect pedestrians now. So it's like if you go look at one of those Audi A8s or R8s, I should say, like an Audi supercar, and you look in the front, you go, it's got a weird plastic grill on the side. It's got a weird, it's like, you know, it's a $200,000 car with a weird plastic grill, and you go, geez. Stainless steel would look pretty killer in here, or like aluminum mesh. And like, yeah, it has to be plastic for pedestrian safety. So you take a look at that Bizzarini from 1964. There were no rules. You could do whatever you wanted, right?
Yeah.
Now you have to work within the rules. You have to have side markers and 5-mile-an-hour bumpers, and you know, have to be safe to hit a pedestrian, and blah blah blah. So it changes the shape and the materials of the car.
And by the way, I'm looking at this Bizzarini still, and it really does look like, it actually looks like the design language of the new Porsches. Think about, like, if you just kind of look at it, you go, I see you. This is 40 years ahead of its time for a different manufacturer.
That's what's mind-blowing. These guys are geniuses. The Picassos, I almost said the Picassos, the Picassos of cars. Adam Carolla's with us. Of course, the Adam Carolla Show, the podcast that everyone knows about. I wanted to ask you something real quick. If we transition about podcasting, our producer's father-in-law came to him and was like, hey, I want to start a podcast. And he was like, okie dokie, okay, well, what for? So kind of, what was it, a business?
I don't know, something related to what he used to work in. But
it seems like you jumped through, you got out of the smoke of the podcast and actually came out on top, and we can see you. But, God, there's so, I mean, what do you tell people when they come to you saying they want to start a podcast because they see how well yours is?
You know, I just tell them, do it early, do it often, like do it every day, and do it with no expectations. Just do it. Do it because you love it. Do it because you do it for free. That's it. That's the way to approach it. Like, do it because you love to do it. Don't do it because you're thinking about getting rich or getting laid or getting a Chevelle. Just go, go do it. Even though you get a Chevelle pretty cheap.
Yeah. Well, you can't get a good Chevelle for cheap. You can get a Chevelle for cheap.
I always tell people there's no money. There's no money in podcasting, and they always go, but what about Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know.
They're unicorns.
Exactly.
That's not like, okay, I want to be a quarterback. Okay, well.
You're not Tom Brady.
You're not Drew Brees. Yeah. You know, it's different, and it's. Is disappointing. Well, not disappointing. It's sad to me that because there's something that everyone has a voice and everyone can do easily, they think they're good. That, oh, well, I can do it. No, it's
no,
not.
You can't.
It's just like.
It's art.
It is. This is not.
There's no barrier to entry anymore. That's the long and the short of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to get into radio. You have to physically get hired and stuff like that. And podcasting, there is no barrier to entry.
Yeah, that's it. Barrier to entry. I want to use that. Well, you know, there's no barrier to entry, and I'm never going to give you credit for it, Adam.
So,
well, everybody, check out his podcast. Obviously, it's been around forever. I think it's still one of the most downloaded podcasts in all of the world, and actually all of history, too. So go and check it out. Adam
Carolla. Barrier of entry.
Barrier two.
There is no barrier to entry for his podcast.
You can just listen. Adam, thanks, man. I'm going to go check this car out now, this Bizzarini. I may have a new car.
Yeah. Check it out. Yeah.
Adam, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
See you, man. Bye-bye. Hey, Tony Harris is the host of the History Channel's show, The Proof is Out There. Hey, Tony, how are you, man? Good morning.
Come on. It's good to be on with you guys.
Yeah. Well, I think we had you on whenever the season one came out.
That's right. That means I didn't screw it up. You're having me back. My mom will be happy.
Yeah, man. I mean, okay, season one was crazy. The humming under the earth episode.
Yes.
That's a weird one. And they tried that one guy trying to say that it was a
air vent
or whatever. I was like, oh, you're crazy.
It is similar frequencies, though. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, but I mean, then you got the Bigfoot North Carolina guy. That was a cool episode. The reincarnation thing was crazy. The crying statue thing.
Ball lightning.
I mean, there's the ball lightning is really trippy because that doesn't even, it looks like CGI.
Exactly. Yeah, and we just like saying ball lightning because it sounds slightly naughty. So there you go.
That's my nickname.
Ball lightning.
That's what my girl calls me.
Go ball lightning.
So, Tony,
happy to be able to tee that up for you.
Yeah, thank you. I love her. So anyway, you know, we're big fans of all this kind of stuff, as you are. What are some of the stories where you kind of go, that one really got to you?
Yeah, I think... for us in the second season, let me see. I think the Bigfoot, we're going to do a dedicated hour on Bigfoot because we just feel like we need to put our stamp on the whole Bigfoot story, the controversy surrounding it, you know, all of the videos in the Bigfoot universe. And we were debating whether or not to do it, and you almost have to do it if you're a show in this space. But then the question becomes, how do you do something that moves the conversation forward? And I think we figured that out. You guys let me know when you take a look at it. But we think we figured out a way to move that conversation forward. So we'll do a dedicated hour on Bigfoot. That's coming up in the second season. I think the other thing that's always going to be fascinating for me and is fascinating for the audience is the thing that brings most people to the show is the discussion of UAPs and yeah, you get that big DNI report in June, and you know the government is saying essentially, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. And so that says to us, certainly to me as the host of the show and all of the experts that work with us in trying to pull these videos apart, it says there's a lot of work for us to do here. And, you know, if you've got the government taking occurrences and incidents with military pilots and military personnel, and they can't come to a conclusion on this, we got a lot of work to do here. And, you know, that's the part of it that's pretty serious. And we want to treat that subject matter seriously, but I get to have a lot of fun and show some of my personality when we get to debunk some of these crazy videos that people are making, creating, and posting. Some of it is just for a viral moment, but, you know, I take it to give them a bit of hell. So
yeah, and I don't like whenever people fake stuff, because that's the problem. Like, it's the same thing with the Sasquatch stuff. Like when that guy had that the gorilla costume in the ice chest or whatever.
Right.
I'm like, that's the worst, because you can't take it seriously when everybody makes it a joke, and then, you know, we can't move forward. So yeah,
and I'll tell you something else, guys, is with the so many people having drones now. Every time I see a video of lights in the sky, I immediately go, drone. I discount it immediately. And I even think that the Tic Tac stuff that we're seeing, I mean, Bubba and I think we've kind of, we've talked about it off the air, but I think we both agree that
it's
ours. I think it's our stuff. And the guys that we talk to, they're like, dude, we're so far ahead. What'd he say? Decades?
Yeah, we're not supposed to know about some of the stuff that's out there. And understand, too, and this is where the Tic Tac video comes in, because those Navy pilots aren't privy to the information about those vehicles.
Just like the President of the United States is not privy to all of this stuff that's been going on. It's because it's not a permanent.
It's a need-to-know thing. You're talking about a president.
And in 4 years, they're gone.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's interesting, but I think that points out a bit of a problem. We're not the only way. If I take you at your word and buy into what you're saying, you know, we're not the only government working on this, right? Around the world working on this. So, you know, a lot of our analysis, particularly of the TikTok videos, is, all right, so what is it? We want to get to the bottom of it. Is it foreign technology? Okay, it may not be extraterrestrial, it may not be alien technology, but is it foreign technology? And if it's foreign technology, then why can't we have an explanation on that? I mean, look, I'm a journalist. I want to know. I want to know what I don't know, and I want to understand it better. I think that the public is willing and able and can appreciate and understand and compartmentalize information. So share more, not less.
Gravity bubbles.
I think that's how part of what you're saying here, right? Let's know more. Let's find out more. Let's take some of the guesswork out of this. And that's part of the reason why we exist.
Here's what I'd like to offer, since we're all here on the phone. Myself, Big D, Tony, we want to know the truth. If somebody wants to tell us, we promise not to tell anybody else.
But now, Tony's going to put it on his show. He'll put it on his TV show. Let me circle this back around. History Channel's The Proof is out there, and it's back another season because it is that good. You definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And, Tony, we can't wait to talk to you, I guess, season three.
Yeah, we've been blessed, man. We started with 10 episodes, and now we're up to 30 episodes in the second season. It speaks to the, you know, people watching and enjoying the show and the confidence that history has. There may be some stuff down the road where we do some different spinoffs and hours and this, that, and the other. There's a lot of conversation around the show because the format is so strong. And
yeah.
I'm really happy with it. I'm glad people are taking to it.
Well, if we can ever be a part of it and help out, please let us know. We love talking about this kind of stuff, and you're on our front porch for sure. Tony Harris.
I'll take your proposal to the bosses.
Thank you. Host of History Channel's The Proof is out there. Tony, thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you.
Later.
Loved it. Thank you.